AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Hopefully you won a fantasy football championship this season, but don't despair. Even if you didn't, we're going to walk you through a lot of DFS content the rest of the week, get you ready for week 18 of the NFL season, and the playoffs are coming in the NFL, and a super weekend coming up in 2 weeks, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday games. We'll do win totals, we'll do props, everything else. We'll have a cover for you all the way through the Super Bowl, provided that baseball wants to play this game of not actually coming back to us and still being locked out. So unfortunately, that is the case as we begin here on this Monday. It is January 3rd, 2022. Glad I got it right at the start of the show. Here are our headlines tonight. Cleveland Browns, Pittsburgh Steelers will cap off week 17. Steelers were +3. They're now up to -2.5 now that the Browns are out of it. There's some expectation that maybe they will look different tonight. We will find out in what could be Ben Roethlisberger's final game playing in Pittsburgh. Grizzlies-Nets headline tonight's 10-game NBA slate. If I'm not mistaken, is Kyrie Irving playing in this game tonight? I thought I saw that, or maybe it's this week, Wednesday. Okay, so Kyrie Irving getting ready to come back. Michael Gallup, one of Davis's guys, looks like he's out for the season with an ACL tear. And Chargers-Raiders are flexed to Sunday night. I was talking about this to the guys during the break, that if the Jaguars somehow beat the Colts on Sunday, that would mean that the Chargers and Raiders would just need to tie to get into the playoffs, which would mean, Davis, neither team would have any incentive to win, and their whole incentive would be not to lose. And I would doubt that they would just take knees the entire game and not score, but that is not a good scenario for the NFL to have teams not wanting to win and just tie. So we'll just have to see what happens. But I seriously doubt Jacksonville will beat Indianapolis this week.
I mean, to me personally, that would be the funniest thing ever. I mean, just two teams going out and kneeling, shaking hands, you know, just getting done with the game. I mean, that would be so funny. And the NFL would be so mad. Roger Goodell would be apoplectic. But I mean, how could you look at the head coaches, the GMs, the owners of those teams and tell them they shouldn't behave that way? I mean, what? How big would the fine have to be to have those teams avoid doing that, right? The making the playoffs is worth so much money. They'd be like, oh, you're going to fine me $5 million? Okay, that's fine. You know, it's so valuable in terms of the TV money you get, the gate revenue that you get because there's revenue sharing for selling playoff tickets. Like, it's absolutely massive. So I'm gonna have to go find Jacksonville Jaguars jersey to wear and hope that they win, because I am all there for that chaos. It would be incredible.
Yeah, and seriously, like, Jacksonville's playing so bad that you could not see that scenario playing out, but it is the NFL. That would put a cap on this season and some of the uncertainty as well. Bruce Arians just met with the media in Tampa, Davis, and he says everybody is playing for them in week 18. The NFC still has some seeding going on. The AFC is a little bit more clear, I think, as far as that is concerned. So maybe we will actually get some teams playing some of their players this week.
I hope so. I mean, that is, I actually love week 18 in the NFL for NFL DFS, because you get a good combination of teams who are really having to gun for it, who get in competitive spots, right? Like good players. And then you have teams, you know, good teams who are resting some guys, playing some others. And then you have bad teams who are resting everyone's. Like I always remember Nile Davis for the Kansas City Chiefs had some big games here. The Saints always do this. They have Dwayne Washington on their roster who always ends up starting their week 17 game at running back. Like I love week 18 NFL DFS. It's almost like preseason NFL DFS.
Yeah, unfortunately for the NFL, the Saturday night games don't look all that enticing. They put the big teams out there. They put Dallas, of course, on Saturday night because they know that everybody will watch Dallas, but there's really not a ton at stake based on the scheduling, two games on Saturday night. So who do you like tonight, Cleveland and Pittsburgh? Do you think that the swan song goes out the right way? I saw some other report that said that maybe Roethlisberger comes back as a backup next year to Pittsburgh, but
that's not happening. That's not happening.
I
will say in my personal play tonight in showdown and in single game DFS, I am betting on the Kobe final home game narrative here for Ben Roethlisberger. 50 passing attempts, throwing it every time they get to the red zone, trying to leave Heinz Field with a victory and with 300 yards and three touchdowns for Ben Roethlisberger in his final game. I mean, it doesn't matter anyways. Ben Roethlisberger, Steelers legend. There's no reason to hand the ball off to Najee Harris 20 times here. Like, it doesn't matter for him anyways. So I think we get treated to not an aesthetically pleasing performance, but I do think this will be a pretty pass-heavy game script, so that's how I'm playing it tonight. And I bet the Steelers earlier in the week when they were the dogs. The line has moved now, so some of that sweet, sweet closing line value. We're having a good time.
All right. +3 was the opening line for that game, but now that the Browns are out, that has switched. Steelers still mathematically alive. A lot of things would have to happen for them to make the playoffs in 2022, I guess, now that the calendar has changed. All right, coming up next, the Denver Broncos were...
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Roughly up against it going into this game against the Chargers on Sunday, and that was kind of the outcome of this one. as Los Angeles takes on Denver. We'll go through the fantasy standouts coming up next, as well as all of the other later games. And there were a bunch of them in the NFL on Sunday. So stay on the grid. We're off and running here for the second hour of the show. This is Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. We're here Monday through Friday, noon to 2 Eastern, talking fantasy sports with you. And as we continue on, lots of NBA, lots of golf, hopefully some baseball as well. We'll be right back here on Sports Grid. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To stay alive in the AFC playoff race, and they got it against the Denver Broncos on Sunday. It was a fantasy day that sort of evened around all the players on the Chargers. Not fantastic, but good enough to get by. Justin Herbert yesterday, if you played him in your championship, got two touchdowns, 237 yards. So certainly he didn't win your league, but he helped you. Austin Eckler was back from the COVID list, 58 rushing yards, 3 receptions, 54 yards, and a touchdown. Same with Mike Williams. He was back and scored a touchdown as well. 3 for 63 in a score. And Keenan Allen had 4 receptions, 44 yards in what turned out to be a blowout win for the Chargers. For the Denver Broncos, Drew Lock started the game. He ended up getting hurt. They brought in Brett Rippon, and then Lock came back into the game. He was 18 of 25 passing for 245 yards, also 10 rushing yards and a touchdown. Melvin Gordon was Denver's leading rusher. He didn't do much. He had 43 yards, 3 receptions, 29 yards. Jerry Jeudy was out of this one, so Courtland Sutton was the leading receiver with 3 catches, 60 yards. And Noah Fant with his best game of the year, 6 catches, 92 yards, and a touchdown. And the Chargers, really, Davis, in this one were not all that challenged. I watched a lot of this one having Justin Herbert on my team. I didn't think Herbert played amazing. It kind of felt like Staley, the coach of the Chargers, knew exactly what Denver was. They kicked some field goals. They didn't go for it a few times. And then Denver did what they do, which is they basically just try to run you down, run the clock. But once they're down, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Just a very uninspiring team here. Brett Rippon comes in for a little bit. Courtland Sutton, despite Jerry Jeudy being out, despite Tim Patrick being out, he's not really able to get it going. And it kind of looks like Noah Fant had a great game, but it was really just one reception. He had one. To be fair, that is kind of what Noah Fant was drafted to do. He is a receiving tight end, an explosive tight end, and going to be, the Broncos situation is one of the most fascinating in the NFL, because with a good quarterback, Courtland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler, Noah Fant, Albert O, Tim Patrick, Javonte Williams. That is a super talented offense. I think a lot of us have been operating under the assumption that Aaron Rodgers is going to be the quarterback for the Broncos next year. I got to say that looks less and less likely by the day. They win the NFC again. They get a bye week again. They're not even having to play in week 18. I don't know. It's just hard to leave a scenario like that, I think. I think it's just very hard. And Rodgers is going to win MVP. It's very hard to leave a situation that is that comfortable.
Yeah. And I'm sure the coaching staff will completely change for Denver too. Chargers, by the way, get one more game Sunday night against the Raiders. If they win, they get into the playoffs. If they lose, they are out. What a scene that's going to be in Las Vegas, by the way, on Sunday night. That's like very few times do I want to be at a place where I've said, wow, that would be fun. I think that one could be fun on Sunday night. All right, San Francisco and Houston, a very close game right up until the end. Houston was hanging in there, and for whatever reason, the 49ers played a very odd game plan in the first half of this game. It was just very strange, and all of a sudden, Trey Lance came alive in the second half. He was 16 of 23, 249 passing yards, 31 rushing yards, and 2 touchdowns. Elijah Mitchell was back, and he looked fantastic. 119 rushing yards, also 2 receptions at 11 yards, and he did score. Brandon Ayuk has had a nice second half of the season. And then Debo does what Debo does, which is score a long touchdown, 3 receptions, 63 yards, 19 rushing yards. Probably one of the better picks I've ever had in fantasy football, and definitely one of the best picks overall in fantasy this season. For Houston, their season gets ready to come to an end. Competitive in this game for about 3 quarters. Davis Mills, 21 of 32, 163 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Rex Burkhead, continues his tour with Houston, 47 yards, 6 receptions, 32 yards. Brandon Cooks missed last week, but he was good again yesterday, 7 for 66 and a score. And Nico Collins, 2 for 35. Don't need to spend much time on Houston. We sort of know who they are at this point. Cooks has been the only viable player on Houston all season long. But Trey Lance, I thought, looked really good in the second half. It looked like Shanahan opened up the playbook a little bit, you know, started throwing the ball around. We saw some receptions, but so strange in the first half, Davis, to see any 49ers quarterback basically not target Kittle, not target Deebo Samuel. Like, what did they think the score was going to be at the after the first half?
I mean, pretty much you can just kind of tell Kyle Shanahan doesn't really trust Trey Lance, doesn't think he's going to make a ton of great decisions, doesn't, you know. What was interesting, though, is when they opened the playbook up, Trey Lance actually averaged 11.5 air yards per attempt yesterday. That is way deeper than Jimmy Garoppolo, which is, you know, sort of the reason why you draft Trey Lance, which is that you can open up the playbook. I mean, that... We were just talking on the show last week, at least I think it was on the show. I do so many shows, but I was saying, I literally do not remember the last time I saw Jimmy Garoppolo stand in the pocket, heave it off his back foot, and throw 40 yards down the field. I mean, I literally cannot remember. The one example I could come up with was the throw that he missed to Emmanuel Sanders in the Super Bowl 3 years ago. That was the last time I could remember him really uncorking one. And Trey Lance basically just looks super comfortable doing that. I mean, that the touchdown pass he threw to Deebo, he evaded the pressure. He moved out of the way of the defensive end, stepped up in the pocket, threw an absolute bullet. Deebo caught it, ran along the sideline, touchdown, easy peasy, no problem. Also had a rushing touchdown in this game called back by what I thought was a very ticky-tacky holding penalty. I mean, I definitely needed that touchdown for daily fantasy purposes, so I'm definitely biased there, but... I mean, Trey Lance looked decent enough to me. They got the win. The Texans just beat the Chargers last week. I don't think we can talk about them like they're a total rollover team. And, I mean, come on. I've had enough Jimmy G. I personally have had enough Jimmy G. I don't need to see him anymore. He will obviously be back if this team does end up making the playoffs. But I think their chances of winning multiple playoff games are better with Lance than with Jimmy.
Yeah, and 49ers just need to win this week, or the Saints need to lose. And it feels like the 49ers will get in some capacity. All right, speaking of the Saints, they went toe-to-toe with the Carolina Panthers. This one went right down to the wire. Taysom Hill was back off the COVID list, 17 of 28, 222 passing yards, 45 rushing yards, and a touchdown. Alvin Kamara, 32 rushing yards, just 5 receptions for 68 yards. He did score, so about 25 fantasy points. Can't complain with that. Marquez Callaway, another good game for him, 6 for 97. And Brett Maher, their kicker, made all 4 of his field goals for 41 yards. On the side of Carolina, boy, I don't know what is going on with this team. They look terrible again. Sam Darnold, 17 of 26, 132 passing yards, sacks all over the place, interception 2, 7 rushing yards. Chuba Hubbard actually looked pretty good, 55 yards on the ground, 3 receptions, 13 yards, and he scored. Amir Abdullah is still playing somehow. 21 rushing yards, 4 receptions, 31 yards. Nothing for DJ Moore. And Ian Thomas was 3 for 33. I know the Saints have a really good defense, but to me, the Panthers are the most disappointing team in the NFL this season. I know they lost McCaffrey Davis, but this has gone so far.
Who cares?
South. Yeah, really.
Yeah, who cares? I mean, lose your running back. I mean, what does it matter? The 49ers doing it with a 6th-round draft pick. The Cowboys probably lost their game yesterday because they gave the ball to Zeke too many times. They would have won had they aired it out. I mean, just look up and down at the best teams in the NFL and what they're doing at running back. Sonny Michel comes in, you know, basically given up on by the Patriots and is leading, you know, the best team in the NFC. You know, it's absurd, right? The Chiefs look better with Darrell Williams in there, an undrafted free agent, than they do with their first round pick, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So no excuses. Matt Rhule, I'm ready to say it on the show. He gets the FST stamp. He's a loser. So I hope he's gone. And David Tepper, we talked about this in Fantasy Reality last week, but I mean, he should be embarrassed by the effort that the Panthers have put on the field because they have lots of good players. The Panthers are a team that if I was a college coach looking to make the jump, I would want that job because they have lots of good players and they're just kind of a quarterback away.
Yeah, and this was interesting in that game. I don't know if you saw it, but you know, they do these production meetings, and I guess in the production meetings, they told the announcers that it was Sam Darnold's game and Cam
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Newton was not going to come in and play, and then Cam Newton came in and played, and they were like, what the heck? Like, the rule told us before the game that it was going to be all Sam Darnold. I don't know. It feels like the wheels have fallen off here a little bit on Carolina. I don't know if we'll be back or not, but I am supremely disappointed. I thought they'd be a lot better. Hey, Saints win. They got a shot to make the playoffs. We'll be right back. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Perhaps for the first time all season long, the Seattle Seahawks offense woke up on Sunday. Welcome back. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock. As we take a look at the Seahawks and Lions, Russell Wilson with 4 touchdown passes yesterday. They just kept throwing and running. And speaking of which, guess who a league winner was this year? His name? Rashad Penny. 170 rushing yards. Are you kidding me? 2 receptions, 15 yards, and 2 touchdowns. DK Metcalf also had his best game of the season. 6 receptions, 36 yards, 3 touchdowns. He even returned a missed field goal in this game in the end zone. This was just the Seahawks were playing like they should have been playing all year. Tyler Lockett, 3 receptions, 24 yards, and a touchdown as well. We have not seen Adrian Peterson on the field for Seattle. He is out for the season, but apparently his impact has been very big on Rashad Penny, who said that Peterson is the main reason that he's having this success.
I mean, when you have a guy, you know, who's been running in the league for so long and, you know, is on the verge of Hall of Fame. And, you know, it honestly gives you a boost, and you want to mimic everything that you see him do. So kind of have the same similar type of injury. So I kind of tore his ear off with all the questions I've asked. But I mean, he said it helped and it worked. But having him and then seeing him work and walk through, which is a walkthrough, and watching him practice and then watching how he prepared for game, it honestly saved a lot of our running backs. And, you know, we happy that he came in and was a leader from day one, and he continued to lead. And I think that's something that we missed in the running back room with Chris being gone. And, I can't thank him enough. And, you know, I'm happy to have him around, and I wish he can continue to be around.
Normally, I don't buy these sort of narratives, but how else do you explain Rashad Penny being this good the last few weeks? I guess I'm willing to at least explore that. All right, on the side of Detroit, Tim Boyle got another start. 262 in the air, 3 picks, unfortunately, for him, and 2 touchdowns. This was supposed to be the DeAndre Swift game. That was a complete lie. Jamal Williams, 22 rushing yards. He led the way with 3 receptions and 22 yards. Amon-Ra St. Brown, league winner in fantasy football this year. Unbelievable player this guy is. 8 receptions, 111 yards, 2 more touchdowns in this game. Amon-Ra St. Brown, talk to me about next year with him. I got to remember to take him. Kadarius Hodge, 5 476. But it was good to see Seattle go off. I think, Davis, if Penny is back with Seattle next year and they don't bring these 8 guys back that they have, he's going to end up being drafted in the 4th or 5th round of fantasy drafts.
Yeah, well, they're going to do that, though. They're bringing all these dudes back. Maybe they even bring Peterson back, but Homer will be there. DJ Dallas will be there. They will definitely draft someone. I just guarantee that's how it's going to go. And I also, you know, we certainly do not know if Russell Wilson is going to be there. He kind of actually had hinted at that in the media this week. He said, you know, I don't know if this is going to be my last game in Seattle, but it's definitely not my last game playing football. So certainly he is leaving the door open to being a quarterback for a different team next year. And, you know, maybe he gives the front office a mandate and he says, look, I cannot be coached by Pete Carroll anymore, which I would get because how many times in Russell Wilson's career have we seen these stretches where he plays like an MVP candidate and then the team goes back to handing the ball off to Chris Carson or Rashad Penny or whoever. I got to say though, Penny, I mean, absolutely unbelievable here. You know, basically the best stretch of his career. If you go back and look at his career, I mean, that was his best game. It was the only time he's ever gotten more than 17 carries in a game. He's done this before to end the season, though. Last year in Week 15, 17, or last year or 2 years ago against Seattle, 15 for 74 and a touchdown, also a receiving touchdown in that game against Philadelphia the week before, 14 for 129 and a touchdown. So he's had a couple flashes before, but also he's not on the team next year. They declined his option. So if they want to sign him, they're going to have to just treat him like a regular free agent instead of a restricted free agent. So he's just going to sign to whoever gives him the most money. You know, who knows? I mean, the Buccaneers could come in and give him $5 million a year if they wanted to. So sort of interesting there. Also interesting with Amon-Ra St. Brown, I think it's going to be kind of like Hunter Renfrow. So Renfrow actually performed pretty well as a rookie back in 2019. He had he only played in 13 games, 49 receptions, 605 yards, 4 touchdowns. He ended up getting overdrafted as a second-year player because the team brought in a bunch of guys. They drafted a wide receiver, Darren Waller emerged, and they signed another free agent wide receiver whose name is escaping me right now. And Detroit is going to have to do the same thing if they have any hope of winning games. They're going to have to draft a guy. They're going to have to sign a guy. T.J. Hockenson will be back. You know, this entire run where Amon-Ra St. Brown, the wide receiver 4 in fantasy the last month of the season, it's all coincided with T.J. Hockenson being out and not playing. So I think Amon-Ra St. Brown actually might be a value because they're going to bring in 2 or 3 guys in the passing game, and St. Brown will be relatively cheap in drafts next year, I think.
Yeah. Also, we need to remember that next time Dan Campbell says anything about DeAndre Swift, it's a lie, right? I mean, that obviously proved to be the case going into. I didn't see him get hurt in the game. He just didn't carry the ball like I was supposing that he was going to. Okay, Arizona and Dallas. What a thud for the Cowboys yesterday as Arizona goes in there and wins. And, you know, a competitive game for sure, but definitely the Cardinals were better, at least for one game. Kyler Murray was 26 of 38, 263 passing yards, 44 rushing yards was a good number for him, and 2 touchdowns. No James Conner. Chase Edmonds, I believe, was in and out of this game with an injury. 53 rushing yards, 5 receptions, 29 yards. Nice game for Christian Kirk. 6 catches for 79 yards. Davis keeps ripping this guy Wesley. This guy keeps catching touchdowns. 4 receptions, 30 yards. 2 for him yesterday. And Zach Ertz had a nice amount of targets. 7 catches, just 41 yards. On the side of Dallas, Dak Prescott threw 3 touchdowns yesterday. 226 yards, also 20 rushing yards. Dak was definitely running the ball more on Sunday. Michael Gallup, 3 for 36 and a score. Unfortunately, tore his ACL, going to miss the season. Cedric Wilson had 6 catches, 35 yards, and a touchdown. And Dalton Schultz had 6 catches for 54 yards. Quiet days for both Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb. You know, I don't know. I mean, I watched this game start to finish. I was kind of feeling like eventually Dallas was going to get the better of this one because I'm just not a huge believer in Arizona. But I thought that fumble that Dak had just kind of sealed the game up. And I know there was some controversy at the end. Edmonds fumbled. Dallas should have got the ball back. That's definitely the case. But once Dak fumbled sort of late in that game and gave the ball back to Arizona, that was it.
I mean, Arizona tried to choke this game up multiple times, you know, going for it, kicking field goals when they should have gone for it and everything. But Dak did not play particularly great in this game. And we're now a month straight of quiet games for CeeDee Lamb when his, people who had him rostered in fantasy needed him the most. 3 for 51, 4 for 66. 6 for 50, 7 for 61 over the last month of the season with no touchdowns there. In fact, he has not scored a touchdown since week 10 when he had two touchdowns against Atlanta in that absurd blowout game, which is definitely, I mean, for me, not the way I wanted CeeDee Lamb to end the season. You're right, I do keep ripping on Antoine Wesley because it is absurd that this guy is just playing DeAndre Hopkins' snaps. I guess Rondell Moore did not play in this game, so I can't crush Cliff too hard for not bringing in Greg Dortch and Andy Isabella, but I don't know. Not going to work in the playoffs. Definitely not going to work in the playoffs. They're going to need to figure something out with Rondell in these playoff games.
By the way, I know this is more of a reality question than fantasy, but I got to be honest with you. If Dallas needs a big kick at the end of the game and they need Zuerlein to make one, I'm a little worried. Yeah, yes. I'm very worried about Zuerlein. I had him all season long in fantasy. I mean, I don't think he's the same guy anymore. So I
missed a bunch of extra points too.
Yeah, weird year for him for sure. Okay, what can you say about Green Bay at this point? They have the best record in the NFL, and they basically walked over the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday night. Aaron Rodgers threw two more touchdown passes, and you know who he threw one of them to for sure. A.J. Dillon, 63 yards on the ground, and two more touchdowns for Dillon. He's been the better of the two backs in the second half of the season. Aaron Jones, 76 rushing yards, 5 receptions, 30 yards. Devontae Adams will be a first-round pick in fantasy for sure next year. 11 catches, 36 yards and a touchdown. Alan Lazard, 6 for 72 and a score. The Vikings started Sean Mannion yesterday and got most of his numbers once the game was more or less in hand. 22 of 36 at Lambeau, 189 yards and a touchdown. Justin Jefferson, just 6 for 58. You knew that was coming. KJ Osborne, 3 for 50 and a score. And Tyler Conklin, 5 for 47. But of course, the most interesting part of this game was the post game last night when Mike Zimmer, the head coach of the Vikings, was asked about Kellen Mond and why we haven't seen Kellen Mond. And Zimmer said, "I've seen plenty of Kellen Mond," and then just stopped the conversation. And so obviously he doesn't think he's very good. He made that clear yesterday. And this is probably, I'm going to guess, Zimmer's last game coaching the Vikings going into this week.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know how much. I mean, definitely some of this is his fault for being too conservatively, but the Vikings got to be close to leading the league in unvaccinated players who are starters on the team missing the game. The Vikings are the lowest vaccination rate team in the NFL, I believe that was reported. If I'm wrong, I apologize for misreporting that. But yeah, just not a team that took the health and safety protocols to heart. They said, you know, whatever, it's my choice, which is whatever, do you. But probably did cost themselves a playoff spot via being unvaccinated. But gotta say, not willing to play your second round draft pick and instead playing Sean Mannion, that's like a top 10 most embarrassing storyline of the season that's going to go totally undercover. But, I mean, Sean Mannion, they literally could not win. 0% win probability starting Sean Mannion in Lambeau.
Yeah, and look, I think you're probably right, honestly, for Zimmer. You know, look, they played 14 straight weeks of a game coming down to 6 points or less, and they led in a lot of those games, too.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playmcd.com for full details and amoe.playmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
But I don't know. Sort of feels like we're heading in that direction. Probably not entirely his fault. We'll be right back with Fantasy Reality.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Make sure you are following us on social media at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV for the latest news, notes, and information about our ever-expanding network here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The two Twitter handles you should be following are at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV. Well, Bruce Arians, head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Davis, is disputing this report that Antonio Brown was hurt, basically saying that that never came up in the conversation with him. And now that there's some speculation, at least, that maybe this sort of stuff is coming from Antonio Brown's camp, and that Brown would potentially file a grievance against the Bucs for being cut, which actually does make a ton of sense if that's the kind of information that's coming out. Who knows where NFL Network ends up getting this information? They're only reporting what they're getting. But, certainly if I'm Antonio Brown and I'm, back flying into South Florida, what am I thinking about, Davis? I'm thinking, okay, how do I get the rest of the money they owe me, right? Like, that's only natural for him.
Yeah. How do I set this up that my outburst leads me to still getting checks, right? Because he still had a couple days worth of game checks from them. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm inclined to believe that all parties are at fault. So that means Antonio Brown's at fault. That means Bruce Arians is at fault. Antonio Brown should not have been on an NFL team. No team should have put up with him just because he's that good. But what's the quote from Steve Keim, the Arizona Cardinals GM? He said at the combine 2 years ago, he said, if Hannibal Lecter ran a 4.3, we'd probably classify his problem as an eating disorder. So that that just goes to show you what NFL teams think about guys with, quote unquote, behavior issues.
Yeah, for sure. All right. I'm sure we'll have another Antonio Brown update tomorrow here on our show on Fantasy Sports Today. But for now, let's get over to some fantasy or reality where we may touch on this again. I have a feeling. Here is Brett.
All right, guys. Well, we haven't talked much about tonight's basketball slate, so we'll touch on it here briefly because DeMar DeRozan is doing some pretty impressive stuff on the basketball court for the Chicago Bulls. Currently in clutch time, he is shooting 56% from the field, 100% from three, and 96% from the free throw line. His 2 3-point makes in clutch time this year have been game winners in back-to-back games. So, Davis, we'll start with you for this one. DeMar DeRozan will hit another game winner tonight. They played the Orlando Magic. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Well, this is going to be a fantasy because they certainly will not need, I guess not certainly, but I would not imagine that they will need a game winner. They have all their dudes back. I just saw actually while we were at break that Lonzo Ball has even cleared the health and safety protocol. So really their only closing five guy that they're missing right now is Alex Caruso. They're filling in with him just fine. I believe Derek Jones Jr. started for them last night, which actually allows them to play a little bigger. DeMar DeRozan moving to small forward instead of power forward, which is actually kind of a more natural position for DeMar anyway. However, had this question been DeMar DeRozan will hit another game winner this year, I would have said reality. I'm not betting against the Bulls right now. I did in-game live on Saturday, and Joe Ranieri and I were talking a little bit about the NBA games that night, and I was just like, dude, I'm all in on the Bulls right now. I'm taking them on the money line whenever I can because they are unbelievable. The market is certainly not adjusting to how well DeMar DeRozan has been playing because, DeMar for his career, he's always been a good player, right? He was good in Toronto. He was good for the Spurs. But he is like a top 10 player in the NBA right now. And I don't think the market really realizes how good the Bulls are right now.
Did he win a championship with the Raptors? He was on that team, right? Oh, no, he was traded for Kawhi, right? Yeah,
that's right.
Traded for Kawhi. Wow. Rough go of it there. So look, I mean, I don't know the answer to this question, but I'm going to play the percentages. So the Bulls are, as I look on FanDuel now here, I mean, a game-winning shot. I mean, I guess it could happen, but they're 14-point favorites tonight. So odds would seem to be against that. That's point number one. Point number two, the Orlando Magic, if I'm not mistaken, have either the worst record in the NBA or close to it. I think they are 7 wins and 30 losses. So I think this is pretty much an easy fantasy for me, but it is sports. Anything can happen. In this particular situation, I would bet heavily against a team that is 14-point favorites coming down to a game-winning shot and then DeMar DeRozan hitting that game-winning shot. So I will say fantasy.
It's improbable, Craig, but he is the best player in clutch time in the NBA this season, so he may get the opportunity. But the biggest story from yesterday, obviously Antonio Brown leaving the stadium in the matter of fact in which he did. But, Craig, you know, we're not leaving this up to chance. We're not leaving this just to the NFL. We're talking USFL, XFL. If you somehow could go back to college and try that, the CFL, all of it. Sunday was the last time we will see Antonio Brown on a football field. Craig, is this a fantasy or reality?
I think Davis and I may see this differently. I don't think he ever plays in the NFL again. I think his NFL career is over, but I absolutely think that he will be in some other football league, whether it is the CFL or just some, you know, new XFL type thing that they develop in 4 or 5 years. Cause you know, that's coming again. Like they're going to try to do this, some minor league football again. And Brown will be in that. Yeah. USFL. Exactly. There's something coming that Brown will be involved in. But I think that's it. I think he played his last NFL game. And look, there's always a coach out there who thinks that they can fix it and, you know, and go through it. But well, this one seemed to be so far over the top. And amongst all the over-the-top stuff, including the cryogenic feet thing, which I thought that couldn't be topped, and then the vaccination card, which I thought that couldn't be topped, and now the running off the field thing that I thought that couldn't be topped, I don't know. There's probably another crazy story left for Antonio Brown before it's all said and done. But I got him done in the NFL. But I do have him on a football field again. So I'll say reality.
Yep, reality. And it's not going to be the XFL. It's not going to be the USFL. It's not going to be the AAF. He is going to play for another NFL team. Not only next season, I would make him just a very slight underdog to play for an NFL team this year, whether it be the Kansas City Chiefs, whether it be, you know, the Patriots, the Titans. I mean, certainly the Titans desperately need some wide receiver help so they're not relying on, you know, frickin' Chester Rogers and Nick Westbrook-Akeen in the playoffs. Like, I'm just sorry. Like, I don't like that the NFL is this way. I actually hate this about the NFL. I wish that, you know, more of these guys were, you know, humanitarians. Like, I wish they were all like J.J. Watt, right? Where, I mean, J.J. Watt certainly is corny. Like, he, when you listen to him talk, you're like, wow, you are the biggest cornball ever. But just like a legitimately great guy, does a lot of work for charity, is a huge part of his community, whatever team he has played for. Like, I wish that was the case. But it's not. Antonio Brown gonna be with another NFL team next year. I'd make it like minus 300. He's on a different NFL team next year.
All right. Well, another big story from the weekend, Jake Paul always making his way into our fantasy or reality. But he put Dana White on the spot saying he wants UFC fighters to be guaranteed 50% of UFC's annual revenue. Increase fighter pay to 50K per fight, the minimum's currently 12K, and provide long-term health care to fighters. And if Dana White agrees to do all of this, Jake Paul will fight Jorge Masvidal in UFC. So, Davis, we'll start with you for this one. Jake Paul and Dana White, I guess, but Jake Paul should fight in the UFC. Is this a fantasy or reality?
So I guess that this is a bad idea for Jake Paul, because this would be lending his star, lending his fame, lending his money-making ability to another organization. And this is like the exact opposite of what you may not agree, but the Paul brothers are like self-made stars. They have created this brand. They have monetized themselves. Their whole thing has been they have not relied on large corporations to imbue their wealth. And I would think that this is a tactical mistake from him to lend his star, to lend his money-making ability to another organization. So I'm going to say fantasy. He is much better off doing these like celebrity boxing matches versus, you know, other fake celebrities and just generating the revenue based off of that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably say fantasy. It's going to be important for both of them to stay relevant somehow. So anytime they comment, things are going to get brought up. I think their celebrity boxing has been actually okay. Like, they've had other fights within the same card that have brought in some former players in the NFL and in the NBA. And so why not? Like, I think what they're doing is fine. I always respect the hustle for somebody like this to continue. So yeah, I mean, I will say fantasy. I don't know what the end game would be for this, because again, all of the luster is lost, Davis, once they lose in any of these things. Like, that's it. Like, then it's like, oh, it's just not interesting anymore. Speaking of which, I don't know if you saw the story over the weekend. I'm not sure if it was Jake or Logan Paul, but they made headlines last week, I don't know if you caught it, for buying a case of the original Pokemon cards for $3.5 million. And then, you know, we're going to open it on a stream, and it was authenticated and everything, but apparently, like, the entire thing was fake. Like, all the cards, like, and they legitimately bought the cards, but apparently, like, the $3.5 million is just, they bought a bunch of fake or non-authentic Pokemon cards. And I mean, imagine putting down your money on that and having that happen.
Who did they buy it from, like, an individual or from, like, a card shop or what? Like, I'm wondering if this was, like, I'm wondering who got scammed here first.
So my understanding is that it was authenticated by a very reputable company, a company that I use too, but I suppose that when they did it, maybe they weren't aware of it. I'm not really sure how the whole dynamic worked, but they without a doubt, well, and it was probably like fifth hand by then. I mean, think about it. Somebody buys it originally, they sell it to somebody, that person sells it to somebody else. And I don't think that there was any malice involved in the sale, but I guess the original person who declared this as being authentic is the one that, so they'll have to like track all that down. But like, they had this whole plan for a stream, and then the whole thing ended up being, you know, fake and not there. So, I mean, I've bought fake cards before, Davis, and I've been burned like 30, 40, 50 bucks for sure. But 3.5 million, like, I mean, the good thing is, I guess these guys are going to be able to get, you know, somehow get their money back, because look who they are, right? Like, they'll hire the best attorney. You know, maybe they won't get all 3.5 million after the attorneys get their money. They'll get 2 million back or 3 million back. But that's just wild.
It is wild. That's why people like NFTs. You can't look. I mean, you definitely can get rug pulled and stolen from on the blockchain, but you will be able to see where all that money goes. You can see the provenance of any individual piece of artwork on the blockchain. So just a little bit more fuel to the NFT fire there.
All right, a little more Bored Ape sales going up as we speak. All right, we will take a quick break here on Fantasy Sports Today. We got the Sports Grid 60 coming up next, so make sure you stay on the grid. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Also, don't forget, on tomorrow's show, Davis will have a day off. I will be talking with George Kurtz for the two-hour edition of the show. Then I got a couple of days off during this week, so Wednesday and Thursday, I'll be back with you guys on Friday as we get closer to the final week of the regular season, week 18, for the first time in the NFL. We have it covered for you here on Sports Grid. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid as we get ready to wrap up the show. Don't forget, we'll be right back here tomorrow at noon Eastern, recapping the Monday Night Football game between the Browns and Steelers. Let's turn it over to Davis for this Monday Sports Grid at 60. First one of 2022.
Well, first, you know, I hope everyone's New Year's resolutions are going well. I was at the gym this morning, and I noticed it was comfortably a little bit more full than it had been on December 31st. So, look, I mean, some people get annoyed by that, but I love that. Actually, I like seeing people there, you know, working on themselves. That's always cool. And I gave out when we left the show on Friday, I said Georgia -7.5, gold star, lead pipe lock, my best bet of the year. That obviously hit. But what I really want to talk about is people getting mad at the college football playoff and saying, oh, we need to expand it, or this team should have gotten in, or that team should have gotten in. We don't need to make more of it than what it was. Alabama and Georgia are the best team by leagues, by miles, by whatever, however you want to classify it. So just enjoy the football that we do get. We don't need a massive overhaul in how college football is done just because Alabama and Georgia are so good.
Worst day of football of college football I've seen in a long time with those two games. I mean, for you it was great, but I mean, just the enjoyment factor was so low. Speaking of which, the enjoyment factor for my fantasy football championship was low as well. And leading up to it, I was feeling pretty good, even feeling pretty good in the early games, and then things came to an end. And I'm not sure what it says about me anymore. Yeah, I mean, I'm disappointed I drafted Deebo Samuel and didn't win a championship. Yes, I mean, that's, you know, you make a great pick like that, you want to win. But in the end, so much of this is luck. Don't really get too upset about this anymore. Just kind of move on to the next thing. And we'll have a lot more for you, of course, here on the show. That will do it for our program today. Thank you to James over at LTN. Of course, thank you to Danny in our graphics department. Thank you to our producer, Brett Levy. And for my co-host, Davis Maddock, I'm Craig Mish. I hope you have a great Monday. We'll see you right back here tomorrow at noon Eastern for another edition of FST. See ya. Break.
There are a lot of sports talk.